And we're back to the Barca Breakdown. I'm your host, Yusuf, and I'm here with my good host,
Adam. What's going on, guys? Interesting time period in the Barca fandom. I think we're all a little bit sad about the recent game, but there might be some new hope on the horizon here. Before we get into it, if you guys could follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Barca Breakdown. If you can throw us, you know, a subscribe on iTunes or Spotify and leave us a review on iTunes, that would really, really be helpful. Okay.
Make sure you turn on your notifications so that you get notified when we drop a podcast.
Very true.
Also.
So obviously, I think we're all a little bit upset. We just lost a glorified friendly, right? Not the biggest tournament, but the Supercopa against Atletico in, I would say, what's like the most crushing way, but because we've all experienced Roma and Anfield, not necessarily the most crushing, but I thought it was interesting. You were saying something about how this loss reminded you about the actually Valencia loss in the Copa final last season.
Yeah, so I was watching the game and, you know, there was the second half was crazy, right? So the game ends and I'm just like, wow, how did we lose this game? I felt like the Valencia game and this game, the loss hit me hard in the heart was one of the biggest things I would say. It was, I think Valverde did as little as possible in both games.
Classic.
For example, making subs in the 85th minute that when it's way too late to win these games. I know this game wasn't super important in terms of, you know, just our team, but why lose a game? Why not? It seemed like he put so much energy, or our team put so much energy into winning this game, and he just didn't show up, Valverde especially, but that's nothing new.
No, it's the story of his tenure, right? I kind of agree with you, and it's funny observing your feelings after these two games, because definitely after the Valencia game last season, it was kind of when you were like, I'm so done with Valverde. And, you know, if you've been listening to the podcast all season, we have been over Valverde the whole time. But this one really also seemed to be like a huge floodgate where everything turned over. And, you know, we'll get into the reports later about all of our hopes and prayers that we might get a new coach tomorrow. But it was pretty awful, you know, and kind of.
Yeah. Did you hear the fans booing him, by the way, Valverde?
Well, of course. I mean, what do you expect? If I was there, I'd boo him too. Right. But let's talk a little bit more about the game. So the lineup I actually thought was pretty exciting. So we had Griezmann, Suarez, Messi up front, pretty classic. Then we went De Jong, Busquets, Vidal midfield, which was interesting. And then Sergio Roberto came in as the right back, and he seems to kind of have taken that position from Semedo as the constant starter. We had Pique, Umtiti, which was interesting and also something I was glad to see, and Alba. You know, when I saw the lineup, I was a little bit worried, and I think the worry panned out because that was a pretty old lineup. You know, a lot of times when we talk about the old players, we talk about Busquets, Suarez, Messi. At the same time, though, right, Vidal is over his 30s, Pique is pretty old, so it was an older lineup, and then Umtiti as well with all of his knee issues. I knew that he wasn't going to bring the pace that we might need against Atletico, who are always going to hit us on the counter. What did you think when you saw the lineup?
I agree with you. The lineup was kind of old. I was honestly hoping for, you know, maybe some more defense in terms of, I don't know. Roberto seems like he lacks on defense sometimes. And like, for example, one of the goals, I think he was late in covering his man, and I just think it wasn't enough for a team like Atletico who, you know, they have Felix who's pretty young and pretty energetic. And I think we needed a more defense orientation to stop them because, you know, Messi, Griezmann and Suarez have been looking pretty good recently. So I wasn't too worried on the offense. Like I wasn't thinking, oh, we should get Perez in this game. I thought this is okay for our offense, but our defense, I think I was worried about. And that's been the whole season, though.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it was a pretty aggressive offensive lineup, I thought. I mean, if I think about, you know, even though, like we're talking about, it's a glorified friendly, we did try to play all of our players, whether that was because we cared a lot about the game or because, you know, something with the way that the Spanish Federation set up this Saudi game, you know, maybe there might have been some requirements that we play all of our players. But overall, I was fairly happy. You know, the De Jong, Busquets, Vidal midfield was something I was really excited about. I thought we had some good opportunities because, you know, in a game where Atletico is mostly going to sit back and counter, I thought, you know, with two box-to-box midfielders in Vidal and De Jong, we might have an opportunity to kind of, you know, push forward and get the ball ahead to Suarez and Messi. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. And like you alluded to, you know, the one good thing that Valverde had going for him the last two seasons, I thought, was defense. You know, even though we had this whole, you know, we created this narrative, I think everyone did, about how Valverde's tenure was all about Messi saving the day, he was able to save the day a lot because we were never, like, two goals out of a lead, right? And so the one thing that's happened this season is our defense has really lost the plot. I mean, we're allowing over a goal a game, which is not normal. And if you look at, like, the stats of how many goals we've allowed through half the games in La Liga this season compared to the last five seasons, it's way off.
Yeah. And, like, we're letting up a goal way too early in the game.
Oh, that's
such
a big thing.
And then we have to fight our way back.
We always let up an early goal.
Yeah.
I mean, this time it wasn't that early, but, you know, I mean, how frustrated were you, right? Like, if we look at the first half, I thought our offense played really well, actually. And we had a few good opportunities to score, and it looked like we were giving it to Atletico. And then second half starts, and in that first minute, they hit us on a counter and just punch us in the mouth and score a goal. I was so upset.
What I don't understand is how do we have in the first half all these chances? It looks like we're going to score. I'm thinking this is the buildup to score, right? There's no way we're not going to score. All our energies towards it. We're making great passes. We're opening up the field. Go into the half and we come back out and we just drop the ball immediately. It doesn't make sense. Like, what's happening between halftime that we just lose our marbles, you know?
Well, in a sense, it reminds me of an issue that we've seen all season, right? Which is, like, the team can turn off for certain points of games. I even remember some of those games, you know, against Inter and Dortmund early on in the Champions League when, you know, we would leave the game being like, yeah, that was really good. But I would think back on it and be like, hey, man, there was like a 20-minute period in that beginning of the second half where the team kind of turned off and had to, like, get scared to turn it back on. So, you know, I think we'll begin to talk more about, well, and as we do after every big embarrassing loss, like, hey, who's at fault here? Was it Valverde or the players? You know, on some level, we got to blame the players, right? Valverde obviously could have subbed in players earlier than, like, the 80th minute when he subbed in, you know, an older guy, Rakitic, and, you know, he put in Fati, but again, in a big, tight game, I don't know if Fati's, like, as a 17-year-old, the most consistent person to put in. But Sergio Roberto and Alba got caught out a lot. Piqué had a good first half, but then I thought he slipped in the second half, and Umtiti really did not look good. So even though I think a lot of blame is to be put on Valverde after, you know, the 60th minute with no subs in, I do think our defense just kind of, you know, wet the bed and kind of pulled that Swiss cheese we've been talking about all season, which is, you know, we get hit on a counter, and it just seems like the wingbacks, the fullbacks are pushing up so much that they're not there to, you know, help Piqué and Umtiti or Piqué and Lenglet, and they just kind of ran over us, right? I mean, obviously we had the great Messi goal, and then we had the great goal by Griezmann, that header in, 51st and 62nd minute, and we thought, hey, the sky's looking blue, we're looking good, this is looking clear. Then we get, you know, a goal called back for Messi. There was also a goal called back for Vidal off of VAR that I thought both of those were bogus.
Piqué.
Yeah, and I thought both of them were bogus. But
dude, they picked Vidal's little hairs off his tiny mohawk and said it was offside. That's what I
know.
Think.
At the same time, though, right? We got lucky that there was a PK handball they didn't call, right? I thought the Messi handball was probably justified for VAR to take off. He did kind of, you know, swing his upper, you know, bicep, tricep area to hit the ball. So I was like, all right, that's fine. I agree with you that Vidal offsides for the PK goal was totally BS. But then we did have a PK handball that wasn't called. But that's kind of what I was getting to is that, sure, it is Valverde's fault for not putting in any subs after the, you know, 60th, 70th minute to try and inject some youth when the average age of our squad was over 30 for this game. But that first, you know, 45th, 46th minute where our team kind of fell asleep, that's got to be a lot on the defense, right? And, you know, I don't know if it's because Valverde is not inspiring them at halftime or because the players just think they're, you know, too big. It's kind of an issue we've always had that they're, you know, kind of getting complacent, but they just turned off, and then Atletico took advantage.
it seemed like they cared so much. For example, you know, Jordi Alba, Messi are getting in people's faces. They're getting upset. They're like their heart is obviously upset about the way this game is going, and somehow they're, you know, falling asleep at some times. And I don't really understand why this is happening if it seems so important to them to win. And if you look at the reports of, you know, after the game and they say, oh, it's our fault, it's not the coach's fault, yada, yada, yada. How many times are you going to say that until you change, like, what's going on, right? And then on top of that, and I understand what you're saying about the players having to take blame, and I'll support you with one, I think it's the second Atletico goal, when Jordi, I think it was, not Jordi Alba, but Sergio Roberto, he wasn't covering his man. He let the man inside him, and as he was running forward, he just got fed the ball, and Roberto couldn't do anything. He was just way too behind the guy. He let him have the field open, and he scored on
well,
us.
Well, I think
that's the defense's fault. That's his fault.
One big thing that we discussed at the end of last season was that we needed more players to younger players to come in and challenge these established stars and help drive out that complacency. Mm-hmm. Right, a big part of last season was, oh, he'll always start Suarez, or oh, he'll always start your boy Rakitic, or oh, Alba will always start even if he has a bad game. And you know, you think about the mm-hmm. people we have that can challenge for some of these spots: Semedo, Firpo, Dembele, you know, Arthur or Vidal, right? And if you just take that list, most of those players have been injured for serious parts of the season, and so, you know, injuries have plagued this team. It's not something we like to harp on a lot, because what can you do? And all teams have injuries. But a lot of the pieces that we were hoping would be able to, you know, threaten our older players and get them to kind of get their head in the game and feel more invested in, you know, constantly trying to bring their A game, they've been injured. So whereas we thought we'd have a lot of opportunities this season to see, you know, players challenging for spots, that competition that drives them to always have their head in the game and always be worrisome about, you know, whether or not they have an A game because they might get replaced last game, injuries have really caused a huge issue. And even though we're focusing on the back line, our midfield was pretty absent this whole game too, right? And we've been saying for the last month, we need Arthur back, because he provides an element of at least challenge for some of these players that they don't have right now. Mm-hmm. He also is able to control the ball, and I think if we had him, it would help us not always get hit on these, you know, fast break counterattacks that we see.
The only person in the midfield I thought was doing work and deserved his play time was Vidal this game. I thought Vidal was outstanding, honestly.
Wow.
I just think he was on, like, he was just connecting with the ball a lot. Like, the even though they called offsides on him, I thought that play was freaking spectacular. His run and his touch on the ball to PK was just like something I haven't seen some of these midfielders even try, right? He's willing to make some, like, runs and make some, like, very difficult passes despite, you know, doubting that it might not come out, but he's going to try it. You know, I need to make something happen, I'm going to go for it, is what I think he's thinking. And I support that. Like, he was running out of bounds and made a pass in and was hoping, you know, someone was there to snag it. I think we almost made a goal on that.
You know, what was really frustrating for me is, you know, we assume everyone watched the game, but that last 10 minutes when they scored in the 81st and 86th minute was, like, so heart-wrenching. And it did feel a little bit like the team kind of got hit in the mouth and then just didn't know what to do, like they've done a few famous times the last 2 years. But what's really frustrating, dude, it's not like it was, you know, some barn burner team out there who was scoring passes. It was Atletico. They've averaged, I think, in La Liga this season, less than one goal a game. Well, they've had about, looking at it, 22 goals in 19 games. And they're the ones who are scoring two goals in the last 10 minutes of a, you know, glorified cup mm-hmm. semifinal. Like, it's just crazy. Our defense, which has been a rock for so long, was just not there.
I don't, like, I'm trying to analyze the game without, you know, getting too angry at, you know, oh, Valverde did this. Because we say that all the time, and we know he's not changing and he's doing the same stuff every time. But it just seems like after so long, how have we not made a change? Yeah, these reports about Xavi possibly taking over are great, and I'm really excited if it does happen. That way we at least just have a change of face, right? That's that's one thing I'm tired of looking at, Valverde's face. But I just need something to show, you know, like you were saying at the beginning of this pod, some light at the horizon is what I'm just waiting for. And I hope it doesn't come too late, because we have some important games coming up in La Liga and Champions League. La Liga, we're tied at the top with Real Madrid, and we're not looking good with our defense. We let up way too many goals. If they stay tied with us, yeah, our goal differential is, I think, slightly higher than theirs, but they can overcome that very easily, and we're already behind on goals, and we're letting up way too many goals, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess one silver lining is that Real have to play tomorrow, and they have to come back to play in La Liga next weekend against Sevilla, which could be a difficult game, so we get a little more rest. But, you know, one last thing I want to say about the game itself was it was really weird to me. Not only did we get late subs from Valverde, but we also got, like, De Jong substituted. I thought that was a bad decision, and Busquets. Neither of them really seemed like they had to come off. But, you know, let's get into kind of moving forward from this game. Two huge pieces of information. I think I want to save the last little nugget for the end because it makes me the happiest, but we got some bad news. Luis Suarez is going to be out for what looks like 4 to 6 weeks. He's going to get a knee surgery on the same knee that was operated on this past summer. Looks like they want him to be healthy for the, you know, important part of the season, which, without being too depressed and cynical about our team, this is probably the important part of our season because it looks like La Liga might be the only thing we can actually compete for. But he'll be out for 4 to 6 weeks, which should be interesting because we will see some more Griezmann at the nine, and I think we'll also see some more Carlos Perez, which I'm kind of excited for. Probably some more Fati. You know, if Valverde is still the coach for the rest of this 4 to 6 weeks while Suarez is coming back from injury, we'll probably not see anything too creative or too inspiring, but you know, it should be interesting to see the team kind of come together. Suarez was having a really hot December. He went off, right? La Liga Player of the Month. So pretty sad to see him go. Mm-hmm. Even though we have definitely been critical of him on this podcast, he turned up and he was looking better.
I mean, we can be critical about him when he's not performing well and if it's consistent, you know, it's like a chronic issue. And then he kind of came back from it, which I'm happy about. But I'm also excited that Perez gets a chance. And I think he should get more of a chance, Perez, during some of these games, getting subbed on for Suarez, even, you know.
True. Well, let's get into the big, big, juicy negative news, right? After the game, like I alluded to earlier, it seemed like it was a watershed moment, you know. It was kind of a turning point. Whereas before, we even, you know, when we had a little bad end with the Clasico draw and some, you know, bad results in December, the news was always the board has Valverde's back. But after this game against Atletico, everything changed, right? It seemed like we were getting reports left and right. The board is not like Valverde. The big news here is that they went to Qatar to check in on Dembele, but also secretly to talk to Xavi. And, you know, the reports are all pretty loosey-goosey in the air right now, but it does seem like there's a really heavy chance that Xavi tomorrow can confirm that he wants to take over as coach immediately, and he will be replacing Valverde. That is kind of the biggest hope we have, but even if not, it looks like Xavi will be taking over next season no matter what. You know, my feelings about it, and I think this is kind of what everyone's talking about on social media, is that Xavi hasn't really had a long time to coach. He hasn't had a lot of experience. Yeah. But, and, you know, in an ideal world, right, we would have him 2 to 3 years from now come in as our coach, in my opinion. But, dude, we just need to do anything we can to get this stain of life Valverde off of the club, right?
It's more of like a parasite. He's latched on and he's sucking out all our fluid and our, you know, life juices, life essence, and he won't leave despite our many gripes and grievances against him. But I'm excited because, you know, if I mean, I agree with you. Xavi had some more experience coming into this, but maybe the fresh mind and, you know, since he's homegrown, might give our players some kind of, or maybe he just has some crazy tactics or something. I don't know, but anything is better than Valverde What's a good pair to say? A leech? Valverde leech? I'll go with that.
Yeah, I'm okay. You know, they could say that they're getting like a pet rock to be our coach, and I would be happy. I mean, I think we and everyone who's a fan just kind of want something new. I actually don't know. Here's a question I have for you. Do you think you could, if you scoured the Barca fandom all across the globe, you're going to Singapore, you're going to South Africa, you're going to Chad, you're going to Canada, you know, you're going to Vietnam. Could you find a Barca fan who is like, oh, I want to keep Valverde for the rest of the season? Do you think that person exists?
When you're talking about this person, are you saying like
any single fan?
I think you would might need to be in a parallel universe.
Yeah.
But in our universe, no.
Exactly.
Because, you know, parallel universes, there have to be something that's different, right?
True.
So in this universe, I think that, yeah.
And this is one of the weird things, too, here, is that, like, if you really look at this game against Atletico, the first 70 minutes were pretty awesome. We were going pretty, you know, balls to the wall, playing pretty hard. And so, you know, if we don't get one of those VAR goals taken away or Atletico don't score on two counters, this conversation is not even happening. But, you know, that's the way kind of sports fall sometimes, and In a way, I think a lot of us are very appreciative that we lost this game in a sense, because it really is putting the fire under the board to be like, okay, you know what? We can't really just wait out the rest of the season with Valverde. It's untenable.
Yeah.
You know, he's just so lost the plot, so out of his element, so he just doesn't even do the basic things right, right? You have an old team. Everyone's saying all season, this is an old team. They're too slow. The issue is youth. And yet you have these 30-plus-year-old players playing for 80 minutes without putting in a sub. It's just, it's so ridiculous, and it seems so simple that I am ecstatic that we might get an end to this nightmare very soon.
The big thing I'm hoping for is, at least, you know, when we are able to transfer some players, is that we can get some wingers, because
true.
I think, you know, we're just lacking in that department. And in terms of not just having someone to play, because we do have wingers, but we need subs that can come on. And, you know, when Roberto's not being able to keep up with the defense or something, we just need to make a change. You can stop, you know, stop subbing out some weird subs like the midfield when we put in Rakitic. And we're like, oh, what's Rakitic
going to do in
this game?
Yeah, like, what
does
that sub really offer us, right? I mean, I think the big thing I'm always thinking about is we need Arthur and Dembele back. I mean, I know it's a meme now that Dembele always gets hurt, but dude, if he could stay healthy for a whole full season, he's really good, you know, and that's what I want to see. Mm-hmm. Arthur as well, I want to see him develop. I think the thing I'm looking forward to most with the new coach is I've just felt so bad for Frankie. I feel like he came to Barca with all these high hopes, and kind of the Valverde ball has like killed him inside a bit. So I'm excited to see a new coach, especially one as prolific and beloved by Barca fans like Xavi, one of the greatest players of all time, to come back and have an opportunity to help Frankie grow and develop and become kind of that, you know, best midfielder in the world that we all know he can be.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, our midfield really needs to take it up a notch, connect with the front a little bit more. And yeah, I feel bad for him too. But
last game of the...
His time will come.
Our next game that we have is against Granada. If you all remember, as Yus reminded me very well, we lost to Granada back in September 2-0. That was a game where Messi was coming back from his off-season injury. He played like 30 minutes, and then he got hurt the next game. So, you know, not a typical Barca game without Messi, but how do you feel about the return leg next week?
I'm a little iffy because we just lost this game that we shouldn't have lost, right? So, like, I have
it's
a feeling
home,
that it's at home. Okay, I was about to ask that. I have a feeling that usually when we lose a game like this, we kind of bounce back, and especially at home, we just have like more of a drive to win, and we, I guess, you know, the fans provide a lot of energy and it helps us, but I don't know. If we win, I'm going to go with, like, maybe a 1-0 or a 2-1. I think a 2-1 maybe sounds, like, a little better, but I don't know if we're going to look good is the biggest thing.
I mean, you know, looking
I don't
at
feel
Granada's
that confident.
Record since that game, or just the whole season, they're 8 wins, 3 draws, 8 losses, 25 goals for, 25 against. So, you know, even though they did well against us and they have a decent amount of wins, they've also lost a lot. We don't have Suarez, so I'm a little worried in that front. But I think back at the Camp Nou, hopefully, I mean, this is crazy. I actually can't even believe we're saying this. We might have a new coach for this game. Oh, man, that makes me too happy. I think the team's going to come back, rebound, like you said. I'm going to predict, well, we're not going to have a clean sheet because it's Barca 2020. I also don't know if Stegen's going to be back. One thing we didn't cover a lot today was that Stegen's been out.
Oh, true.
And Neto's been in goal. But I'm predicting a 3-1 victory at the Camp Nou next Sunday.
The one thing I'll say about what you said was that, yeah, they haven't been on a, you know, they had 8 losses, Granada. But look at when we played Espanyol. They're at the bottom of the chart, and we still struggle. We drew them 2-2, right? So, like, what does that have to say? I want to be analytical about a lot of these things, looking at how the performances of these other teams have been and all these things. But at the end of the day, it seems like those things almost don't matter when we go into these games because our defense is lacking so hard, or our minds are not in it and we fall asleep during the game. So, like, I like to think of it that way, and I want to be positive and think, you know, oh, we'll bounce back, but I'm worried is all I'm going to say at the end of
the day. I am too, but it's positive use, positive Adam 2020. New year, new us. We're trying to be positive and only supportive. I think that's it for today. I just want to say thank you, guys. And if everyone can please, I don't know what higher power you believe in, but throw out a prayer, throw out a good thought that we might have a new coach next week. Which, by the way, I have a feeling is going to blow back in my face. Like, Xavi doesn't have a lot of experience. Obviously, it couldn't go a lot worse than Valverde's nightmare has gone. But, you know, we'll save this sound clip for future episodes if at the end of the season we, like, finish 5th in La Liga and Xavi was not a great coach. Thank you, guys.
I think we'll have to quit if that happens.
True. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.